In 1939, the young German theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was in New York, exploring whether he should stay there as pastor to the German emigrants in the city, and considering a string of invitations to lecture in the United States. He'd made himself deeply unpopular with the German regime, making broadcasts critical of Hitler, and running a secret training institution for pastors in Germany who couldn't accept the way that the Nazi state was trying to control the church. Yet, after a draining inner struggle, he decided to sail back to Germany. In July 1939, after just over a month in New York, he left, knowing that he was returning to a situation of extreme danger. 6 years later, he was dead, executed for treason in a concentration camp, and leaving behind him one of the greatest treasures of modern Christianity in the shape of the letters he wrote to family and close friends from prison. He had left behind the chance of freedom, as most of us would understand it, and plunged into a complex and risky world, even getting involved in the plot to assassinate Hitler, living as a double agent, daily facing the prospect of arrest, torture, and death. But freedom was one of the things he most often wrote about. In a famous poem he wrote in July 1944, he sketched out what he thought was involved in real freedom. Discipline, action, suffering, and death. Not quite what we associate with the word. But with these reflections, he takes us into the heart of what it is for someone to be lastingly free. The freedom he is interested in is the freedom to do what you know you have to do. The society you live in will give you all sorts of messages about what you should be doing, and far more difficult, your own longings and preferences will push you in various directions. You have to watch your own passions and feelings and test them carefully. And then you have to have the courage to act. When you act, you take risks. You seemingly become less free. But what is really happening is that you're handing over your freedom to God and saying, "I've done what I had to. Now it's over to you." Freedom, says Bonhoeffer, is perfected in glory when it's handed over to God. And this finds its climax in the moment of death, when we step forward to discover what has been hidden all along, the eternal freedom of God underlying everything we have thought and done. It's a tough and uncompromising picture. But at the end of Bonhoeffer's journey, as he sketches it in this poem, is a vision of the joy that can only come when you discover that at last you are in tune with reality, God's reality. Everything else, the stories you tell yourself, the pictures of yourself that you enjoy thinking about, the efforts to make yourself acceptable, all this falls short of reality. "The truth will make you free," says Jesus. And that is what sustains Bonhoeffer in his prison. It's really very like what Jesus says in the Beatitudes: "Blessed are the poor, those who are hungry for justice, those who make peace." These are the people who have got in touch with what eternally matters, with God's reality. These are the free people, because they have been liberated from all the fictions, great and small, that keep us locked into our anxieties and ambitions. These are people who are not afraid to die, because they have discovered what supremely matters and are willing to hand over everything to God. There's no forcing of others to accept that vision. It's simply about being detached enough from what makes you comfortable to be able to live out what it takes to show the kind of God that God is, to live in tune with God's freedom, which is always a freedom that makes other people free and gives them joy in the reality, the truth, that is God's life. It takes time. Bonhoeffer wrote a little guide for students when he ran his college for pastors, in which he explains why they need to give time each day to silent meditation on the Bible. "God claims our time for this service," he wrote. God needed time before he came to us in Christ. He needs time to come into my heart for my salvation. Each day we try to open ourselves up to being transformed by this meditation. We want to rise from meditation different from what we were when we sat down to it. Some religious people talk about letting the surface of our mind settle so that it can truly reflect God, like a still pool. As Bonhoeffer's life and death make clear, this isn't some sort of refusal of the world. Rather, it's the only way we can ever act in the world so as to change it effectively, because we're opening the way to God's activity, through us, but not just through us. Looking quietly at all the clutter that prevents us from seeing ourselves honestly, looking quietly at the ways in which the world we live in muffles the truth and so frustrates the search for justice and love, this isn't a luxury. This is how the truth makes us free. Not free to do what we fancy at any given moment, but free to be real, to be truthful, to be in the truth, as the New Testament puts it. After all, what other sort of freedom is finally worth having? It may cost us everything we thought we needed to hang on to, but as the history of Christ's journey to the cross and the resurrection makes clear, the end of the story is a fulfillment, a homecoming, for which we can never find adequate words. It's the freedom to be what we most deeply are.